Hey y'all, welcome to Wild Confidence. I'm your host, Ainsley B, and I can't wait to share with you some amazing guests on this season of the podcast. Our goal here is to help one another find, keep, and share our wild confidence in Christ. I'm so thankful you're joining us, and if you love the episode today, I'd be so grateful if you left a review or shared it with a friend. All right, let's hop in. I can't wait to meet our guest today. Katie Helgerson is a hospitality educator and owner of Gather Intentional Living and Everyday Hospitality. A public speaker, food stylist, writer, and aspiring interior designer, she has set out to see our generation come back to the table through hospitality. Gather started as a small New England business and throughout the pandemic experienced tremendous growth as they shifted to virtual. Through this shift, they welcome guests from all 50 states and 6 countries through their hundreds of workshops on charcuterie, cake decorating, and hospitality education. They have since expanded to offer a podcast called Making Room by Gather, which talks through various dynamics that come up around the table, a blog that offers specific diet recipes, and a shop with products that make gathering effortlessly beautiful. Set out to educate and inspire a new approach to everyday hospitality, one that has a connection at the forefront. Gather is just getting started. Let's meet Katie. Okay, I'm so excited about this conversation. Katie Helgerson, welcome to Wild Confidence. How are you today?
Good. Sipping on some coffee, waking up. We're good.
Same. Yes, we were just talking about how little sleep we got because you have a 5-month-old. I have a 2-year-old. And we're just in the thick of it.
I'm proud of us. This is good.
I'm proud of us too. We are here. We've made it. Even scheduling, I'm just shocked that we finally got a chance to actually put something on the schedule. So
I know.
Look at God.
I know. It's so funny. I think I was joking with you about this. For the first, or these last 5 months, really, I've been scheduling things, forgetting I have a baby, you know?
Yeah.
And so I'm like, yeah, I could do that. I'll be there. Absolutely. And then I'm like, wait a second. So,
yep.
Yeah.
I do that still. I'm like, yeah. Or we'll go out of town or think about going out of town. I'm like, yeah, we can go out of town. I'm like, it's not just, we also have a dog. Like, it's not that easy to just go out of town.
I know. No one talks about that part of it, but yeah. Truly. What a miracle this is.
Exactly. Absolutely. Okay. So tell our friends who you are, what you do, and a little bit about yourself, because I have met you online and read a little bit about what you do. And I'm like, you are so cool. So tell them.
Yeah. Thank you. I feel like so much of our world is changing. And so even that with my bio, I'm like, I have to update that because I am not the same that I was, you know, like 6 months ago and a year ago. Totally. But yeah, so I'm Katie, married to my college sweetheart, Colby. We've been married for almost 9 years, which doesn't that like that kind of number makes you feel like
crazy
old, right?
Yeah. We're going to be our 8th year is this year. And I'm like, how am That's I like, a- we've been together for a decade. Like, how am I able to say that?
I know. Yeah. Anyways. So we are almost married 9 years together for like 13.
Wow.
Number. I'm like, I'm just not going to tell people. But yeah, we met in college. Throughout that time I studied social work. Colby studied criminal justice. And junior year, this like random opportunity came up. It seemed random, but it was totally a divine appointment for us to go to Thailand and spend a semester there. And we thought it would be a one and done. But while we were there, God really, really, really captured our hearts and let us know that it was just the beginning. And so we ended up getting married and moved there, lived there for 4 years. Worked in the area of anti-trafficking, child exploitation, so much that can be unpacked. I'm just kind of like breezing through. So let me know if you had questions. But while we were there, we kind of had a peak of loneliness in our lives, like obviously literally moving halfway across the world. And I really felt this invitation from the Holy Spirit to accept it or to do something about it. And I think that there's like we all have that invitation with loneliness. And I think it seems easier, less scary, all of those things to kind of be like, this is just adulthood for me. Like that's is lonely. So I was like, let me just see what this could feel like though, like approaching this a different way. And I invited over literally anyone I met, like people in the missions community, out of the missions community. And we saw like this really cool thing happen that people were shocked to be invited somewhere. Like invitations don't happen a lot in culture right now. And also it didn't require a lot from me. Like they just wanted, they wanted the table. They wanted simplicity. They wanted a place to belong. And we moved back to the States a few years later. And I was like, oh, this is going to be great. I'm going to step right back into community. Loneliness is gone. Like I'm not going to have to deal with it anymore. And it was the loneliest season of my life. And I think what happened was I changed, people changed, and I never lived in America as an adult. You know, we left America when I was like 22, like fresh out of college.
Yeah.
And then kind of came back a little bit more established. And I think through all of this, God was kind of sparking this idea for a business in my heart about hospitality. I had this really vivid dream. And I thought that he was calling me to open this catering business, to make beautiful food, to give it to people so they feel good about gathering. And I felt so fulfilled. Like I didn't feel like I was walking in alignment with the call. And I was like, well, what do you want me to change, God? And I hated when people were like, I wish I could make this look like you. I wish I could make this look like you. And I'm like, if that's going to give you the confidence, let's teach you how to do it.
Yeah.
Because I'm self-taught. I want you to feel empowered. And so let me just teach you what I know. And I launched these workshops that just went wild. They were food styling workshops, charcuterie and cake decorating. And it was insanity. Like when you hear about times in your life when God just like breathes on things, this was just that type of thing. I had no business background, whatever. And then the pandemic hit and, someone was like, you should go virtual. And I feel like insecurity is kind of always a part of our story in some way, right? It just has different names. But in that season, I was like, no, I felt so insecure about going behind a camera. And it was so funny because our income went from a pretty established business to now not having an avenue for income. And I was like, I kind of have to do this. And the classes went all 50 states, 6 countries with this.
Wow.
And what I found, though, was like, man, we really are a culture right now that as much as we joke about like hashtag basic and like mock people that focus on home, we really want it. We really, really want it. And so, yeah, I taught charcuterie workshops, 7 to 10 workshops a week, which I say that not to boast, but like, just like, God, you did that. Like you did that. And I'm like totally shocked still. But yeah, now things are shifting a little bit for us. People lost interest in virtual. My community is more out of Connecticut than it is in Connecticut. And people are kind of like, well, what else is there that we need to know to feel confident hosting? So we have a podcast space, which I'm really excited about. It's called Making Room to Gather, or Making Room by Gather. Making Room to Gather is my book title. but Making Room by Gather. And it's a place to just talk about hospitality holistically. So everything from how do you approach guests taking their shoes off when they come over? Because that's a very, like, you would be shocked the things that like really make people tick.
Yeah.
And that is, people get so offended if that's a house rule and people wear shoes. So everything from conversations like that to, man, I try to really cover all the bases. I had a couple that was incarcerated, the husband and wife were, and then they reentered society. And I'm like, man, how do you wish people talk to you? How do you wish, or what are things people say that maybe they shouldn't? So I want to cover every conversation about the table. And yeah, so I guess all that to say, we're in a season of figuring things out, kind of next steps for us. But my heartbeat is to really rewrite the way we gather for the sake of connection. So that's what it all boils down to.
I love it. It's like eradicating loneliness is like what I'm thinking of your
through hospitality.
Like what you actually do. Yeah. Like you, in a different sense of, you know, justice almost, like, or like a cause, I guess, because that is so prevalent. And whenever you're talking about, you know, going from college and then you move to Thailand and then you come back, those, the things that you did in college, I'm always, I love hanging with college students because I'm like, y'all do nothing, but it's always together. And what I mean by that is like, you don't do anything by yourself. You're not going to the grocery store by yourself as much. You're not going to a workout class by yourself. You're not. And I love it. I'm like, I wish that that was more of a, still of a habit now. And
well, you know what I think happens there? We're told in culture that community is value, like a value, and that you should focus on it until graduation. Yeah. Once graduation hits, it's no longer a value. It shifts from community to independence and success.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's not enough people showing us in culture, like, not only is this cool, I'm not worried about things being cool, but there are literal benefits. Like, there is a value, and this is a critical, like, human need. Like, I feel like there aren't enough people kind of, I don't know, being weird a little bit and saying, like, no, community is more important than my success or whatever, whatever that looks like. So I don't know. I think it's ingrained in culture, I think.
I agree. I fully agree. I think that is 100% true and something that I saw in my life. You know, as soon as you graduate, I'm like, wait.
Yeah.
How do we just maintain these friendships? I mean, maintaining friendships is so hard now, like as an adult. So what are some things that like how can we foster community hosting that doesn't feel overwhelming, right? Like that we have to be Pinterest perfect.
Yeah. So like one, this isn't like super practical, but it's a good thing to like keep in mind. Like I say that prim and proper hosting, which is kind of what our culture preaches, is like, and connection are like oil and water. And so if we are so focused on, I don't know, the presentation, we can't have connection. And so we have to find that middle ground. And so I think there's two camps. There's prim and proper hosting. And then there's like, I don't care about a dang thing. like the counters are sticky and like every, you know, like there's those two camps. Right. And I think that we have to meet somewhere in the middle. I think that design and food does matter. It's just not the end all, you know? And so I think it does, like people do need to eat. Your house does need to feel safe to you or else you're not going to want to welcome people in. And so I think your question was, how do we not feel overwhelmed, right? Go ahead. I think you said not feel overwhelmed by hosting. Yeah. Let's go with that one.
Yeah. Is that what I said? Let's go with that.
No, I think that people don't think about hospitality until the day before they're hosting. They don't think about gathering. They don't think about relationship dynamics. And then all of a sudden it becomes these like viral memes that we all see where mom's flipping the couches, screaming at the kids, you know?
Yeah.
And I think we have to look at hospitality as a part of our life and lifelong learning. And what that looks like is everything from giving yourself the freedom to try new recipes. I know this sounds so silly, like, but give yourself the freedom to learn how to cook before you even have a gathering planned. But then also everything from like working on relationship dynamics and like your own heart work before you have to face Uncle so-and-so at the birthday party. Like, I think we don't give ourselves enough margin and permission to build our toolbox.
Yeah.
Like, before gathering. And so I don't know, that's one side of it. But like, we're so good at like working out. A lot of us have like reading goals. Like we want to read a certain amount of books. We have all these areas in life that we give attention to. And like growing in hospitality is not one of them. But we can alleviate so much stress by just like giving ourselves more permission to explore the art of home.
Yeah. And letting people into this imperfect place that is your safe place. I'm just thinking of like, I am definitely
it's dynamic.
The prim and proper kind of person where I'm like, everything has to be like cute. Is there a theme? And I find that it puts more pressure on me, like to do everything right. Like they can't serve themselves. Like I need to serve, or I need to like make sure everything's in the right order. And then they come over and they don't care. You know, they just want to hang out. They just want to be. And then I go to our friends' houses and they're, I don't care either. And it's so much more relaxed. They're just like, hey, this is, I think, what I'm making for dinner. You want some? I'm like, sure. Yeah. Well, you know? As opposed to like, do you have any food allergies? What are you doing? Like all beforehand, which, yes, should be taken into consideration. But it's also putting too much pressure on myself.
I think we talked about this when we first started like chatting a few months back. I think that there's this shift that I'm trying to encourage, or that needs to happen in culture, from how does this make me look to how does this make you feel?
Yeah.
And so here's the deal. Like I love a good theme. I love design, but I'm also like a creative, and like beauty and stuff. Like it's like a hobby of mine almost. Like it's a value that's not everyone's. And so I think that a level of that is okay, depending on the motive. So if the motive is like, how does this make me and my family look? That's going to come off. Your guests are going to pick up on that the second they walk in the door. Right.
Totally.
But if the motive is like, listen, I like design, but my thought and intention behind picking every single detail is, how does this make you feel? Mm-hmm. That is also going to make a huge difference. So like my guests always say, and I hope that this is true for everyone that comes in my house, like, they see the beauty, but they also feel that I am like, it's a come as you are setting. Like I'll put out a beautiful cheese board. If you ruin it in 3 seconds, I could care less. Like, you know, versus like, I don't know.
Having everything in its perfect little spot.
Yes. Like the host that's like always like tweaking the cheese board as everything is taken, you know? So
yeah,
I think, go ahead.
Well, I'm thinking of like post-grad, like what are some like low hanging fruit hangouts or like spaces that post-grad can fill the loneliness?
Okay. This is probably my favorite. And I don't know, you know, those things in our story, like our walk with Jesus, where you have a hard time like thanking him for it until later, like, cause the pain is so real or whatever. Right.
Yes.
This is one of those things where I'm like, okay, Jesus, thank you so much for showing me this. But in the moment, I was not thanking you.
Yeah.
Right. Like it was such a painful part of my story that, like, I don't know, I'm able to encourage from now, but man, did it sting. And like, loneliness stinks. Going first stinks. It really does. Mm-hmm. And I was the new kid every 2 years growing up. My family moved all the time. And the benefit of that is I'm very, very good at making friends.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm very good at making friends, but I think I'm not good at like deep connection, or I'm not good at going through, I don't know. That's the downside of it. I'm not good at like really deep connection. So I started this system that I call blind friend dating whenever I'm in a new community. And it happened when we came back to the States. I found myself just doing common errands, right, at the same places, going to the gym at the same place. And I always saw people and I identified the thought, I would love to be friends with them. And I feel like we have people in our life, like you see the same mom at the grocery store or whatever, and you're like, oh, they seem cool.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started doing this thing where I was like, I picked a date and an activity. So like whatever, a Friday night at a vineyard, and I invited 10 people, and you could pick whatever number it is. They don't know each other, but they all know me in some way. And I would, I would send a text, or I would ask them like, hey, I'm doing this thing. I'm starting a blind friend date as a way to get to like meet new friends for me and for you. None of you guys know each other. You all know me. And that kind of like gave people this freedom. Like, like, who am I going to know? Do they all know each other? Like, do you want to come hang out? And that first time I did it, I invited 10 people. Only one person said no. They were all strangers. And wow, it went so well. I was like, let me just do this every month. And I gave people permission to invite people in their lives in the same situation. And eventually people, like some people trickle off, but most people stayed. And I don't know. I think, like I was sharing at the beginning of my story, people are waiting for an invitation.
Yeah.
And if you give yourself permission to go first and facilitate, like it's really powerful. It's really powerful. And so it doesn't have to be at your house, especially if they're strangers. I found a vineyard, like I said. Yeah. Doesn't have to be expensive. Doesn't have to be elaborate. But yeah, blind friend dating.
That is so fun. It's like, it makes me think of something that I can do. I do like a friendventory is what I call it every year. And I literally have a list of all of my friends, like all of them in my planner, separated by city, because we've lived in so many different places. And I just think about every year, I think about, like, I reflect on how I can be a better friend to people, or what has changed in their lives that I can kind of keep track of or keep in mind or pray about. Who do I need to set a boundary with? Who is, you know, whatever. Who do I need to totally cut off? That doesn't happen very often, but it has. And, but I'm thinking, like, I have people in little pods almost, is kind of what I call them. And I'm like, wow, what? And you all, but then when you have a kid and you have a birthday party or you have something for them, like you have to bring all these people together. What if I were to do that before the birthday party? Right. And like establish those things. So then whenever they're like, oh, we're about to be in this place and I don't know anyone, they will have already had a precursor blind date situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where they can hang out. Giving me ideas.
I also heard, I don't remember who this was. It was an entrepreneur. If you're listening and this is you, I meant to give you credit. I just forgot your name. No, she was saying that, like, she found herself in a season of loneliness and kept saying, I'm so busy. I'm too busy. I'm too busy. Right. Mm-hmm. And we could think of a million reasons why we're too busy. Or like you're not, I don't know, you don't feel as whatever prepared as you want to be. And she was like, listen, I can only say I'm lonely or I'm busy for so long without having to take accountability of my loneliness. For her, she is a CEO. She was a mom of a few kids, but she said she had to put a block of time. I think she said 4 hours in her schedule every month. And I think she did like a Friday night or a Saturday morning. And she treated that like a board meeting. Like she couldn't cancel it. She couldn't schedule anything else. And she was like, the rest of my month could be crazy, but I have to do something to build community during this time. And I loved that.
I really loved that.
Mm-hmm.
I really want to do that. Like, I'm just thinking how busy life is just with being an entrepreneur, with having kid, and even thinking if I'm post-grad or something, any transitional season, you're having to adjust to so many different things that you're like, I can't figure out how this one piece plays into all these other pieces, like this one piece of community. But usually that one piece of community is what keeps you sane through all the transitions.
Yes.
So it's like, that's one of the most critical pieces and you can't figure out where it fits. So make it fit somewhere and then you can process the rest of the pieces, moving pieces together.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
I need to do that. I'm like,
I feel like this conversation always, like, what's the expression, strikes a chord or something, like, you know, it's a kind of like a trigger for people. And I hope that listeners like can hear, this is not coming from like a place of judgment. Everyone is in their own like season, but like motherhood, when we went into motherhood, I had been through seasons where community had radically changed my life so much where I was like, I'm going to have this baby and he's going to be like the love of my life, you know, and I'm going to, you know, I'm going to love being with him, love being with his mom, but my community still has to be a part of, like, what am I trying to say? Like, I can't stop community when this kid comes. And it's going to be tempting. I'm going to be tired. Life's going to be full. But I have seen what happens when I live a life without community, and I've seen what happens when I live a life with it. And so I'm just going to have to figure out what motherhood looks like with that as a main priority. And I think sometimes moms have to be challenged by that a little bit. Like, can bedtime maybe be a little bit more flexible so that you can have people over for dinner or go to dinner? Like, right? Like, can it maybe be? And maybe not. Maybe not. I don't, like, you guys know your family and your kids best. Or, you know, does your kid have to be in 15 sports so all of your weekends are totally maxed out? You know, can you maybe say no to one so that you could, you know, have more gatherings on the weekend and expand your community a little bit more? I don't know. That's maybe a topic for another time. But I think parenthood, I think the enemy really loves to strip us of community in seasons of parenthood. And that's when we need it most.
I think you are spot on. That was whenever you said coming back from Thailand was, you know, one of the loneliest or the loneliest. I was like, and the thought that popped in my head was even lonelier than like the first 4 months of your kid's life. Because I'm like,
way
that
lonelier.
Was so lonely for me. Just, and I had family that were very supportive and very present, but it's also just like, there's a loneliness that comes from having this whole new identity placed on you, or that you're stepping into. And then it's like, that's all I talk about. I feel like that's all I talk about is motherhood. And like yesterday I had a meeting where I finally talked about work and things on the horizon. And I felt so rejuvenated because I was like, oh, there is this person outside of mom. Yeah. There is this person outside of, and I'm obsessed with Goldie. Like she's my, the light of my life. Like obviously. And now I'm seeing the thing that I saw in college, which is moms inviting other moms to do nothing again, which is so amazing to me, is that it's like so full circle. Like, we're going to, the park, and it's just like, hey, I'm on my way to the park. I'm going there anyway, but come if you want to. Like, I would love, this is where we're going to be. And it's just inviting people, I think, into your rhythms is not only how we can build the community, but I'm also thinking like mentoring and mentorship. That's what, when I had a mentor, I loved just being a part of her everyday life.
Yeah. So good. It's so good.
That kind of inclusion.
Yeah. I've also realized too, like social media is so loud. Obviously we know that, but the way that we really know, like, I don't know, the way that we really like we're all like looking to Instagram and like TikTok and stuff to learn everything, right? Like from, it could be cooking, it could be stuff with your kids, it could be fashion. But I find like the way that we really learn in life is just by being with people. Yeah. And if we take away, I don't know, you're going to get me on a lot of soapboxes. I'm going to go on a lot of soapboxes, but.
No, I'm here for it.
I don't know. Like, I guess I'll bring it back to this. Like a lot of people in our generation say they just don't know how to host. They don't know how to be community. And it's like, well, if we're not gathering, if we're not making the space for that, we're never going to really learn. And so just that, like making space, I guess I'll bring it back full circle here, like making space in our schedule to just be with people, and observing and learning.
What are your top three like hosting tips?
So I kind of break my passions and like what I like teaching and studying into like three pillars: food, design, and relationships. And so I think those are like the pillars of hospitality. So I guess I'll give one in each.
That's perfect.
Okay. Relationships, commit to commitment and commit to
That's good.
So it's kind of like twofold: commit to commitment and commit to consistency. And so like commit to commitment. We have all been in this situation in the Target parking lot. You see someone you haven't seen in a while and you're like, hey, let's get together.
Yeah.
And what happens, right? It's the next year you run into each other again and you're like, oh my gosh, a year went by. We didn't do anything. Right. Or so you have to, in that moment, commit to making plans. And I think we talk a lot about like you go first hospitality. Sometimes going first feels awkward. Like if you're the person that takes out your phone and you're like, yeah, let's schedule a date. It might feel a little bit weird because nobody's doing that.
Right.
But you have to commit to commitment. Get a date on the calendar, stick to it. Even if you feel like messy and emotional, whatever it is, show up, like make the commitment to it, and consistency. I think we get together with someone once and you might think, oh my gosh, that was so much fun. Do it again. Like that, you have to be in each other's lives and commit to the long haul. That's what people are really craving. Design. Oh my gosh. I'm like very passionate about design right now. Because I think that when you feel connected to the design of your house, not the perfection of the house, but the design, you feel more comfortable inviting people into it. Mm-hmm. And not enough people give the design of their house like enough attention, I feel like, because we think it's expensive. We think it takes too long. Okay. I guess the tip that I'll give today is I talk about the feast flow of your house. So when you have guests over, the actual spaces they have to walk as a guest in your house. So if you were to like map it out, kind of like a maze, when a guest walks in the front door, where are they, what like territory is going to be covered and what like areas won't be? And just focus on those areas of your house to start. Like, is there a basic organization system that you could put in play? Is there a new lamp that would make you feel good? Is there a plant that you could put in a corner? Just the like the feast flow of your house to start. Because then when someone says, hey, I'm coming by in 15 minutes, you just feel an extra layer of readiness.
Yes. I also love that. I love spontaneous visits. Those are some of my favorite ones.
I live in the Northeast and that is like means for war.
Oh yeah, that's true. I'm like deep South.
I really love it too, but I grew up, I lived with my grandparents and I remember the conversation when someone would pull in the driveway. It's like, oh, what are they thinking? You know, I know.
No, I love it. That's so funny.
And then food. So I know we were talking about like dietary restrictions and stuff. This is a hot topic in hospitality right now because a lot of people have restrictions because they need to. A lot of them is just like food trends. It could get very, very, very overwhelming for the host because it's like, man, how am I going to make dinner with 13 restrictions, right? It just seems impossible. I really don't mean to plug the show, but there are so many conversations on our podcast. Okay.
Yeah.
With like food bloggers that are very, very skilled at making special diet food really, really good. Mm. And I think the best thing that you could do for yourself is to find a few recipes, find a few products that you know everybody can enjoy, and then just default to those. Don't try to be a short order cook that's cooking 15 different things. Like obviously a huge part of our brand is built on charcuterie. I always tell people when you make it, just do yourself a favor, use a gluten-free cracker. There are so many phenomenal ones. And then you're like, I think that my reason behind this is it makes people feel seen. And I am gluten-free. I get very, very, very sick when I eat it. That's a different conversation. I went to someone's house one night. Literally the only thing they put on the table was a lasagna. There wasn't salad. There wasn't vegetables. And it was like real wheat noodles. And I was like, what the heck do I do?
Yeah. What did you do?
And so I told them and they made me a smoothie. they put stuff in a blender and made me a smoothie. But I default back to that because it was such an awkward situation for me and they felt terrible. And so do yourself a favor. You don't have to become a gluten-free expert, a dairy-free expert, but take the time to learn a few products or recipes that you could default to that you feel really good about. And it'll make everyone feel a better sense of belonging.
And there's so many good options now. And the dairy-free cheese is like,
yeah,
you can't tell a lot now. Yeah. Obviously, charcuterie, maybe. I haven't really tried to do a dairy-free charcuterie ever. Mm. But thinking about like a pasta or something like that, like you can You can Easy. Throw. Well, and I'll tell you this, my friend that I went to her house recently because my husband was out of town and it was just Goldie and I. So she was like, come over, I'll make you dinner. Mm-hmm. And I go over there and I was like, I had no clue, no expectation, nothing, you know, I have no idea what's for dinner. And it was so simple. She literally just had like Italian sausage, made noodles and put spaghetti sauce in it. And it was great. Like it was, it didn't have to be this big presentation. It was just, I see your need. I'm meeting your need.
Yeah.
You know, and it was just that simple. Like
really good.
That's it. And I so treasure that. And it was not, there was nothing else, you know, and it was, I just treasured it. I treasure it so much. And I think that you're right that we can overcomplicate or we can get intimidated by having someone over and just making some dang pasta and I'm pretty sure it was gluten-free pasta and there was no dairy. So like that was an easy gluten-free, dairy-free option that didn't even have to, you know, run by me.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, it's so dynamic. There's a lot to like to learn and unpack. I feel like there's the practical side and there's the heart work side of hospitality. Yeah. And but
you cover it all.
I hope to.
tell us more about the podcast, your book. Like tell us where we can keep up with you and learn more.
Yeah. So the podcast, I was so sick during pregnancy. Oh my gosh. So I'm just kind of getting my groove back. So there's some new episodes coming out, but there's a whole library full that you can listen back to. So on the show, it's Conversations on Food Design and Relationships with experts in all of the areas. I'm hoping to do more of like my own, just kind of like educational style ones this coming year, but it's called Making Room by Gather. The same time we launched the podcast, Making Room, a few others came out with the same name that were not the same topic.
Oh, that's funny.
You know, and so by Gather, Making Room by Gather. So the book is a slow process, kind of like in the works behind the scenes, but that's going to be Making Room to Gather. Just keep an eye on our socials for the updates with that.
Amazing. And what's your social?
Oh yeah. Gather Intentional Living.
Love it. Mm-hmm. I really feel like going into our conversation, we had no questions prepared, like nothing and literally nothing. That's two moms getting together and having coffee. Literally is what's happening. And I feel like I can talk to you specifically 100%, but about this for hours and hours. Like it's such a need that I didn't even think about really until we started talking. And then I'm like, this is so a part of my life. And it's so a part of everybody's life that we need to know, we need to make space. Like you said in the beginning, this is one of those values that sometimes can get lost in the shuffle and we need to get back to that and love on our people.
I feel like, and I know, we can cut it off, but was like our grandparents' generation was like lived and breathed hospitality. And then I feel like life got busy and you could get like very analytical about it. Like women entered the workforce and like all of that stuff. Right. But like hospitality was not as much of a value. And so I feel like our generation or this time in culture is really relearning it like from the ground up. Yeah. And so, there is a lot.
I fully agree. I think about that quite a bit, actually. I think about, I just wrote a woman's life story and it's amazing. She's amazing. She's like 80 something, 81 now. And I just kind of wrote it for her and her family. But it brought me back to that, where they would say, we went to this dinner party and that's where she met her husband. And we went to this dinner party and all the kids were just in the room asleep, like, or playing or whatever. And I'm like, gosh, we have gotten so far from that simple dinner party, come over and throw your kids all in one place and let them run rough and run around and whatever. So it's so funny that you said that, because I've been thinking about that a lot lately. So we just need to consider returning to the more simplistic, holistic gathering times. and community.
Mm-hmm.
So cool.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. I'm so excited about your podcast and your book and just keeping up with you and being new friends. So thank you for hanging out with us.
Thanks for giving me a good mom break. It was so fun.
Anytime.
We'll stay in touch, guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you so, so much for spending time with us today and hanging out here on Wild Confidence. I hope that you feel encouraged and ready to tackle the day, feeling even more confident than you did before you started listening. I'd be so thankful if you left a review or shared this episode with a friend, and I'll see you soon. Oh, don't forget, let's connect on Instagram. My Instagram handle is @AinsleyB, and I hope to meet you there.